of the shortlisted candidates. I was worried about the fact that, number one, I was worried about the fact that the state security agencies, we don't have much control over. But number two, there was another technical area that was of concern to me, and that is, you know, the top 9 institutions are appointed through a process, strictly through a parliamentary process. Now, I was wondering if we can't have our own parliamentary process to do the actual vetting. And the outcome of that meeting, because that also obviously probably has financial implications, they have to appoint whoever, I don't know. Then our meeting actually undertook that yes, indeed, today we are going to be using a parliamentary process, in other words, going to be parliament that will be using, that will be vetting those shortlisted candidates. I think it's important because previously I had alluded to the fact that the state security agencies will be doing that, and there was kind of, and there are lots of questions around that, and the fact that what if they are not, you know, they don't come back to us, we don't have a control of them, then maybe we end up reaching the stage where we get to the stage where it, the person has to be appointed and there has been no vetting. So he has assured me. Thank you very much on that. And members, let me also clarify another thing which is very important. Remember, some nominees or applicants did not either withdraw or did not return back the questionnaire that was sent to them. So in that case, we are now left with 56 that we are shortlisting from. Okay? So understand what I'm saying? So if you are happy with that, then we are going to proceed with the process. I must also say that we have said, identify the 4 thematic areas. Of course, those thematic areas are going to be useful also when we are interviewing, and they are also going to be thematic areas that will be assisting the candidates to prepare their presentation to the Ad Hoc Committee during the interview process on the 11th. But I think you can also be using that as well when you are shortlisting. I would really love you when you are motivating for the person that should be shortlisted to indicate, to advance the reasons why, elaborate on the kind of candidate that you are nominating. Because otherwise then, then if you don't do that, you simply say, I nominate so and so. We have to understand the rational reasoning behind your nomination of that particular person. And that's best members. Honorable Swart?
Chair, I'm sorry to take it back, but we're still getting documentation now. And it was my understanding that we would get it as quickly as possible so that we could start perusing at least the questionnaires. I've got, at the moment, I've got 38 documents, and I've sent 56 about another 20 documents that we still need to receive. So, the person we need...
Now, listen, we've had, you know, members, we said that documents were available here on
the... They're not available. They're not available.
No, members, no. Let's hold on. Don't get too excited about this. You know, members, we asked the members to ask Bonani to put all the documents here before I left. And my understanding is that those documents were put here. And they, members and the media started telling themselves, and they became scrambled in the process. No.
They were incomplete yet. We got 25 minutes ago.
Before I take you, Bob, I just want to hear from the administration. Please, can you just explain what's happening? I'm going to take you, Bob, don't worry. I just want to, Bonani, to explain what's happening. Because when I came here, they were happy in the house in here, and that three other people were taking documents, and I would have stopped members of the media and other people to help themselves with the documents. Had I known that members had not received the documents, because I saw them and they were selective. They were taking documents that they were interested in, and my understanding that they were there. And when can you clarify this issue, please?
No, there are some documents that the two members of the DA didn't have.
Okay.
But I just have given them to them.
Oh, so you have given the two members of the DA some documents. Honorable Swarthy, I don't want anybody to be unhappy in my meeting. Honorable Swarthy is saying yes, he doesn't have all the documents.
I'm not sure. I sent the whole lunch card. There weren't people coming. At about 12:45, I asked the members, when are we getting the documents? I sat here for 3/4 of an hour. And then the documents started to come out. And I understand the secretary is under pressure, but it was a clear understanding. And I'm not sure if I've got all the documents. I've got now, I think I've got 38 documents. 38. I've counted them all together. I should have 56. So I understand, Bonani, we come a long way.
Can we just do this, Honorable Swarthy?
You've got to read them, Chair.
Hold on. We're not going to. Let's try and do this thing as systematically as possible. Yes, Honorable Bongo? Can you please switch off your mic?
I'm sorry.
Giving Honorable Bongo an opportunity to speak.
No, Chair. I think it must not be, it must not bring some excuses that are baseless. 3 weeks ago, we were given documents at home of all the countries. All the members with documents from home. Other than the document from home, in the website, this document exists in the website of Parliament. But other than the website of Parliament said, the documents were given to us, that we're talking about, in our iPads, they were sent to us also last night. So we can't be running helter-skelter for the hard copy documents that are also being given to us today.
Honorable Bongo, the reason why, and Honorable President, please, if I can explain something. This morning, I ask all of you if you have received the electronic copies. Honorable Swart said he has just received the electronic copy. Now, is the gripe about the hard copy? Because the confirmation that I got from you members was that you have an electronic copy. Parliament members, no members, Parliament allocates more than 4,000 rand a month for us to be able to have these tools of trade. The hard copies were there as a backup because other members said they had not received the documents. And Honorable Swart said at that stage when I was saying that we are going to make the copy, he even said he has just received the electronic version. So I am saying let's not make excuses about the hard copies. After all, we are supposed to be environmentalist members of parliament. We are in a water-stressed continent. If we are going to be so hard on, you know, the papers, we are saying more trees as we can. We need to start getting used to the electronic copies because we did get the electronic versions. And the hard copies, I said they must be printed because I was worried that other members had not yet received the electronic copies. Honorable Seth.
Thank you.
And Honorable Breitenbach.
Thank you, Chair. It is true that we received some electronic copies, but not all electronic copies of the questionnaires last night. And it is for that reason that we requested a full copy. I push you. We got only a few of them. And I invite the Secretariat to show proof that he sent it to me, all of them. I invite him to do that. Because I do, Chair, it is true that we got the CDs, but as I pointed out before the lunch break, there's a big difference between the three-page CD and the questionnaire that's being provided to us now, and it's my contention that we cannot do our work properly in shortlisting process without the benefit of the questionnaires that we have received. Only a as shorter as 25 minutes.
Present, Paul.
Thank you, Minister. Some of the questionnaires we received less than 5 minutes, when Mr. Romano was handing them out. We did not receive those any earlier. If Ms. Bongo was in possession of CVs 3 weeks ago, I'd like to know how he got them. Because I certainly have not been in possession of CVs for 3 weeks. I've been in possession of the CVs for approximately 8 or 9 days. Nothing more. So if he got these 6 3 weeks ago, I'd like to know where he got them from. And if we're going to, as you have said repeatedly, and to your credit, if we're going to take seriously the public participation in this process, then the members of this committee, and that means all the members, not just some of them, all the members, must have the opportunity to read through, digest the public comments that were made, which we got late yesterday. We have not had the opportunity of doing so, and I urge you to give us enough time to work through all the information that is available to us. Otherwise, we're making a mockery of public participation in this process.
Honourable Schwartz, I'll show your hand up.
Jay, just to try to assist the process forward, I received the Corruption Watch electronic version yesterday. I then sat today, this morning, expecting to get the hard copy of the questionnaire, because that to me is very important. That's why I sat through lunchtime here. There was no question about the people coming to take documents. I was here the whole time. And I understand the constraints that the Secretariat is served under. But for us to get the documents, that is why we thought about a two-hour break. I asked the chair, I asked you specifically when would we get the documents so that we can read them and be prepared for the meeting. It was very clear. I had not read the electronic version. I read the Corruption Watch. I printed about 150 pages. But we need to find a process forward that allays our concerns now. Maybe we can adjourn for, I don't know, an hour just to look at this so we've made sure that we've got the documents so that we can take the process forward.
Honourable Swart, I think I need to make myself very clear. You know, there was no question about the issue of Corruption Watch. All members here admitted that they received that long time ago. They didn't receive it this morning. The matter that was an issue this morning was the questionnaire, with the questionnaires and the other objections or comments from the public, the condensed version, of which I read out the names this morning on those people. That was the issue this morning. So the other issues are now new. And again, it's immaterial whether you received the CVs 9 days ago or 2 weeks ago or whatever. The undertaking we made was that, and this committee agreed, that when the package, when we close the nomination, we will have to capture this, and I ask specifically from the members that please give us maybe a few days so that we can allow staff to capture that information. And that was done. And that was sent to the members. We did two, and that's one thing that you can't force me in. It's a process issue. By the way, my PhD is on total quality management systems. Now, I'm being that serious, and processes are critical to me. It's what defines me, say. Okay? So, the reason why we have two modes of communication, we had an electronic way of communication, we also sent the courier, the hard copies of CDs. Bonani, I want you to confirm that first. Please just go on the record to confirm that, because that's what I have instructed the staff to do.
The CVs were couriered to members who are not resident in Chichau. With regard to Ms. Brenda, we had an agreement that I'll give them to her PA, which I did. And Mr. Swart as well, I delivered them to his PA. No, it can't be, you know, I mean, it can't be true because, you know, that deadline was on the 24th.
The trial for the deadline was on the 24th. That's not, you know, let me assist members here. Can we be decisive? Can we act as leaders? You are not going to, you know, the, what is beginning to happen here is that people are trying to find fault with the process. And I don't think that's the right way of doing it. And for the sake of this office, we also have to remember that the very tight frame, I consistently communicated that we are in an election season. And therefore, the members, when they received the CVs, which were sent to them electronically, and also sent as a hard copy, they also have the duty of actually making sure that they verify the people that are on that list. And the list has been available since the 26th? From the 26th on the website. So there was a website, there is the website members, okay, parliamentary website, where otherwise corruption would not have been able, for example, to comment, because they were able to access those CVs. Now, are you telling me that as members of parliament we are unable to access the CVs when even civil organizations, society organizations have been able to do so, and they even did a thorough job of actually going on each and every nominee. Hence, I then said they must accept that comment, those comments from corruption not as they are. Members, please, let's be leaders. I'm just appealing to you, let's be leaders. Can we act responsibly? People must not use public participation, which is a process where members of the public have been participating. I personally alone probably went to over 80 interviews, even with the smallest radio station, with the smallest local newspaper, because I wanted to make sure that members of the public have access. I was even at the round table. I did all those things. It's very important, members, that we don't discredit the process for our narrow political point scoring. It's not fair. It's not fair to South Africans. It's not fair to yourself as well, as people's representatives. Honourable Swart, do you have your hand up?
Jay, there's no question that we are trying to discredit any process. We are grateful. We understand there are time constraints, and the Secretariat is working under enormous pressure. All I'm asking is why did we then agree just before lunch when I asked specifically, is the documentation, the hard copies ready, that it was agreed that they would be given to us at lunchtime? And we
were told, you are repeating the point that you have raised this morning. You confirmed the Honorable Swart.
No.
And in hindsight, we can go back to Hansard.
No,
Honorable Swart, you confirmed it this morning that the electronic version has just arrived to you at that point. So the hard copies were merely there to supplement the information that you already have in your budget.
Sir, we seem to misunderstand, because there's no way I would have said I confirmed I had got the corruption was, but that is a side issue. All I wanted was I sat there the whole time over lunchtime to get the documents, the hard copy. But anyway,
Honorable Swan,
but
when did other members get the corruption?
They haven't got the hard copies themselves. Members were getting the hard copies that were sitting with me over lunchtime. The ANC members also getting the documents.
Well, unfortunately, members, sometimes you have to make unpopular decisions. We really, really, members, have to be fair on this process. We have people that are here, and they came here expecting a particular outcome. We've all received the comments, we've received corruption watch, we've done everything we could, and I wouldn't like us to stall a process. I even gave you more time. If you were during that 2 hours when I went to have the meeting with Honorable Floyd, you did not have the electronic version. It was your responsibility as a member to go to Mr. Bonani, to go to Christine and say, I have not received the electronic version so that I can start reading. Let's not, members, corrupt such a beautiful and noble process. Please, I'm begging you. Honorable Masson.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I was going to make a plea that we do need to find some compromise and enable the process to go forward. We have most of the questioners in our possession. For instance, with me, there are about 15 that I don't have in terms of the appropriate questioners. But the majority I have by far. So I have over 40 questioners in my position. So I was wanting to really ask for a compromise. And a compromise really should seek to ensure that where there are gaps, that the information is made available to members. And where there are critical areas where we think we should revisit in the near future, but that is done. But let's not stop the process now.
Thank you very much, Honorable Masondo. There is something that I want to ensure. This is a multi-track process. I want to make sure, and just know, this is the 30 minutes I want to ask members to allow me to give. Just 30 minutes. Adjournment. Let's make sure, Bonani, that you send the electronic version to the members. And I'm not going to accept any excuses after 30 minutes. I actually have been very, very generous, members, and we have decisions to make. I am making a ruling now. We are adjourning for 30 minutes. After 30 minutes, we are going to proceed. Thank you, members. I adjourn this meeting. We're coming back after 30 minutes. Members, is there any member who has not received the series of all the nominated candidates or applicants? Is there anyone, members? So we are done with the service. Okay? Two, is there any member who has not received a comprehensive report from Corruption Watch on each candidate? Is there any member willing to see that? Thank you. Okay. Three, is there any member who has not received the comments or objections from the members of the public, and which is the document that was emailed to the members? Is there anyone who can say here he has not or she has not received that one? Thank you. Now, let's go to the questionnaire. The questionnaire members, when we send out the questionnaire, I want to draw your attention to the members' attention to what we wrote in the questionnaire. One in the questionnaire, one of the things that I was battling with, which is something that I met with the secretary on, was what sort of ministers are we going to use? At least, you know, to ascertain the fit and proper. Remember, there is precedence, there are court locations, but we also wanted you to have a tool that will at least bring us to that certainty that a person at least has met the meet the fit and proper. Obviously, on those of these candidates, there will be another process which I've already reported on, which has been agreed between myself and Honorable Florid, the parliamentary process of vetting those who have be nominated, because no one of us wanted to see an embarrassment. And a lot of people, same thing happening in the public service, where people play qualifications and all that. You don't want that to happen. So I've agreed with Honorable Froelich that they will be actually moving through the parliamentary process. Remember, this is a parliamentary process. This is a Chapter 9 institution process. So it's very important that the parliament is seen to be leading that process, rather than to rely heavily on the state security agency, because that is the executive, because that was the question I had earlier on. Now, when I sent this particular questionnaire, which I'm going to be asking members, if any member does or not have this questionnaire, I sent it to this questionnaire to assist in the ad hoc committee in its process. All those who have applied or been nominated for appointment as public protector are requested to supplement their application or nomination by answering this questionnaire. I then send it to you members, and you will be correct if you say I said so. The reason why I said this is going to be important for us as a tool. It's just a tool to test the militancy for fit and proper. Because if somebody has not declared their interest, and we subsequently find that in their own signature, because remember, in the CV, there is nothing that requires you in law to disclose your interest. Or even you are applying, simply apply and you put in your application. Now, would the members want us to consider this questionnaire for a shortlisting process? Or would the members want us to consider this questionnaire for the interviewing process? I want you to answer that question first, so that when you have answered that question, then we can then see how many members have received this questionnaire and how many of those have not. The importance of knowing how many members, how many members have received all how many members who have received the questionnaire, is to make sure to ensure that through the candidate that is going to, that is nominated, should the candidate probably has not, if the candidate happens not to have signed the disclosure, then it becomes a tool for us during the interviewing process. First of all, to understand why you never filled in the disclosure or why there is this discrepancy. So I'm saying this tool can still be used at the next stage of the process. It does not necessarily have to be used in this process, because in terms of this process, all the members have copies of the Constitution. Their members, you have the copies of the Constitution of the Republic, Act 108 of 1996. You have. Well done, members. You also have the Public Protector Act of 1994. Hey, members. Good. Now, what was in the answer is exactly what is in the Constitution and in the Public Protector Act of 1994. So, members, having said that, I wanted to know, would you want this questionnaire to be considered for a shortlisting, or you would want this questionnaire to be used for, as a tool, for interviewing that candidate and for getting and for ensuring that a particular candidate does meet at least a minimum standard? I must analyze that. This lawyer here was trying to get me. I'm not a lawyer, Bittenbach. I'm not a lawyer, and I see you were beginning to treat me as if I'm a doctor now. But you understand. No. So remember, can you respond on that, please? Okay, yes, Honorable Bittenbach.
I think, Madam Chair, that we would clearly like to use them for the purpose of shortlisting. The quite point is to shortlist somebody and then fall through their question and find that they're wholly untruthful. And then sort of shortlist of managers who are untruthful and they do the whole process again. Don't really see the point.
Okay, fair to say, I was expecting that when you are nominating that person having gone through the CV, you would have made sure, because it's your name, this thing is recorded. If you are going to say here, I am shortlisting, I am nominating so-and-so, you must have done due diligence. Anyway, Honorable Bongo.
Yeah, thanks, yes. I think I appreciate the work done by yourself and the committee. I do alone the coming up this assessment tool, which is a question. And seeing that this question is the one that is creating us not to move forward, I think let us use the question, but let's not disqualify people who have not submitted the questionnaire for this purpose, because of shortlisting. So a person whom I received the CV of, the time I received the CV, and who's on the website, and they are not submitted to the questionnaire, must not be disqualified on those basis. We must still take that person through, but make sure that if he comes to the interview, we want to find out from that particular person what may be the competing circumstances of not filling up such a question.
Chair, that suggestion makes sense because we don't know why a candidate has not submitted a questionnaire. There might be a good reason, it might have got lost. We understand that there are some constraints with all the forms, and I think it is a proposal to go forward that the mere fact that a person has not submitted does not necessarily disqualify, because there might be a logical explanation. You said I did send it and it's not here. So I think that's a useful suggestion. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You know, I love my members. They are rational people. We are making some progress. Members, I think I will accept that let's not disqualify a person who has not necessarily submitted the questionnaire. I think that is a suggestion that is plausible, and I think it's a good one. And I also wanted to say, we must also remember something. The reason why we are also expressing this is because we must remember the previous processes were never this intense. And appointing the public protector. Obviously, every system, for it to be stronger, it's got to, first of all, identify the weak spot or the weak link. And let's treat this as making progress. This is actually not necessarily a requirement. We just did this because we think when they are appointing judges, they will normally send a type of questionnaire like this. And since this position kind of has some similarities with that position, it is for that reason that we undertook that. Without further ado, members, I am now asking the members, how many members have not received all the questionnaires? Okay. So thank you, members. If you have not received all the questionnaires, now the concern of yours has been addressed by a very good chair. Because it's no longer going to be accepted as a disqualification. And this is you. Remember, I'm only presiding over this meeting. After all, you are the ad hoc committee. It's not me who is the ad hoc committee. So I accept what you have said. So we are proceeding, members, with the nomination process. And we shall make sure that all those that would have been shortlisted, remember we said, we are packing it to 10. You may even wish to even pack it to 12 so that in case there is a problem. But we agreed that we are going to have at least a maximum of 10. Which means that you are going to be able to make sure that all those that have at least been shortlisted, they actually submit these questionnaires are available to members. And I shall make sure that every member has received all the copies of those shortlisted. Is that clear? Thank you. Honorable Bongo?
Thank you very much, Jefferson. I think responding to the Public Protectors Act, which says that at number A, that the person must be a judge of the High Court. I'm nominating Judge Tsai and Judge Weiler. the shortlisted. SSI has 8 years experience in practice, and he's a human rights activist. He also headed down a lot of judgments which were very sound. I think judging by the criteria that we have said earlier, he qualifies in terms of number A, in terms of the Public Protectors Act. And just when I bring some international experience, was admitted in Lesotho, admitted in Wales as an advocate, and run a practice for many, many years. I think the effect of that international experience is something that we may have to go by. So I'm nominating these two judges in terms of the act.
Thank you, members. There is a nomination for two judges from the members here. Is there any objection on Judge Winner and Judge Desai to be nominated to be considered in the shortlist? Yes, Honorable Sir? You know what? I'm going to call you selfie because that's the in thing these days.
One of your members got into trouble for calling me that. Chair, I mentioned this morning that one of the things that I thought we should take into consideration in dealing with nominations to the public protector's position was the reasonable apprehension of bias. And I'm aware that that's the judge of the High Court of South Africa, but in at least two different occasions, he has handed down or participated in a highly controversial commission of inquiry, and he has handed down highly political judgments. And I would draw your attention to a case before the High Court in which the question of whether or not judges should involve themselves in commissions of inquiry was dealt with in fair degree of detail. And that I would submit, should be taken into consideration in this particular matter. But there was a case in 2014 presided over by Judge Desai, brought by Democratic Alliance against the African National Congress, regarding the distribution of food parcels and other matters immediately before the 2014 election. The Honourable Judge ruled against the DA. We are still awaiting the judgment, as it happens, which is one of my other problems about Judge Desai. He has a history of handing down judgments way after the, of delivering written judgments way after handing down the judgment. In this case, 2.5 years elapsed between the time of his judgment and we were waiting for the written judgment. My third ground of objection is that I largely understand that Judge Desai is not in good health, and that I think it is only fair that we allow the particular individual space to recover rather than to burden him with a very exacting office.
Maybe I must give Honorable Bongo, because I think some of the reasons that are given, probably, let me not force, but you at this stage, you have nominated. Do you have a reaction to that?
Yeah, thank you very much, Chair. It would appear Honorable Service from the TA himself. So now he's raising a personal matter where it involves him and the party and the side. And with regards to the judgment that are handed down late and so on, there's a procedure in the judiciary which any member of the public or any concerned man would raise with the leadership in the judiciary for late judgment and so on. So the route to be followed in the main will be that particular route. This will not be a room where you will have to raise those issues because there's a procedure outside which is in court. Justice has been nominated and accepted nomination to predict and to cast an expression that is not in a good health, as though we are a doctor, it may be a problem. Because he accepted the nomination, was nominated. So we are dealing with these issues as and when they are presented to us as a committee. But we are not doctors, we have never wanted to check his health. The presumption is that if he has accepted and has been nominated, he is ready to take over the office. If appointed, because we are still going to just a short list. So some of the questions that he's raising are issues that we are going to raise with him in an interview. Should members agree that we really should list him, we will also ask him for him to get the other side, for us to get the other side of the story from the issues that raised or that are raised by the honourable member. Thank you.
Okay.
About Dr. Manchin.
I was ready to nominate. This one is we all agree with what he has said, and we agree with the explanation as well. There is no transmental area here. We are just here to nominate, and if these people are found wanting in the interviews, then they follow. Thank you. So,
before you move on, I just wanted you to make sure that we set a very clear grounds under which you can object on a person. There is a difference between, you know, your own personal views about a person. There is a statutory requirement for a judge. And my understanding, members, is that if there is any impropriety on the side of the judge's design, then he should not have been a sitting judge. If you are telling me that he's been suspended on the grounds that he has committed some inappropriate or whatever, then there's another issue. And you must also understand something. Administration of justice will not always lead to your personal desirable outcome. Sometimes it leads to an outcome that you do not expect. And remember, I honestly don't think that it is sufficient ground for this committee to consider not shortlisting Judge Isai. Secondly, the issues of a person's health. In South Africa, by the way, even if you are HIV positive, and you happen to be shortlisted, you cannot be disqualified on the basis of your health. And I actually find this so insensitive from the side of the DA, if I'm saying so from the bed. I am also wondering what are they trying to communicate about the health of this particular nominee to the family members. These are people that have families. And I don't think members, and I'm not going to allow any member to raise issues of health as the grounds for disqualification, because that is a matter best dealt with by doctors. We are not doctors. I'm a doctor, but not medical doctor, by the way. Academic doctor, thank you. Is there any other thing? Is there support? Can I see the support for Judge Desai? Because there has been an objection. Raise your hand. Agreed. Oh, thank you very much. Okay, we move on. So we are taking both Judge Wena and Judge Desai. So Judge Wena and Judge Desai have been shortlisted. Thank you very much. Honorable Maisela. Sorry, wait, was your hand up? Honorable Swart.
I'm going to propose it 10 names, are we understanding the process?
No. Why do you keep on bringing the issue of the A and C?
I'm asking the asking. I don't mind.
Honorable sir,
I don't mind.
I've been giving you a lot of time. For your own information, Okay. Can I do this? I'm a very trash woman.
You are
on the floor, Honorable Swart. Can you, Honorable Masala, just hold it? Let's give Honorable Swart the floor.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. I know you, Honorable Swart, you will come after Honorable Maizela.
Thank you.
I'd like to nominate the Deputy Public Protector, Mr. Kevin Malungu. We are aware. That's the process now that we nominate.
Yeah. That's all I asked.
I want to cast no aspersions at all, Chair.
Okay.
Oh. But I then would like to nominate the Deputy Public Protector for the position of Public Protector. He has a nomination in front of us. He has served as a Deputy Public Protector. He's weathered the storm. He's experienced. He's an experienced lawyer. He has management capabilities. And that is a nomination from my side. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, members, is there any objection on Advocate Malunga?
Chair.
No, I just want to make sure that
let me just please address you on a process point, because the way we're going at the moment is Malunga nominated two people. He said, okay, we'll accept them as shortlist. My friend Swartz has now said,
I'm not going to allow you on that. Honorable said, what we are doing, we are, if the name has the support from other members, we are getting that name either. If, when we get to the 10th person, and it is still other nominations, what we will then have to do, we will then go through another process of eliminating until we get to 10. That's the process.
It would be far better with respect if everybody suggested who they thought, and then we had a discussion around that group of people and reduced them down.
No, I don't think that should be the way. And can I exercise my right as the chair? I think this is the important process. And the members out there at home, they don't want a wholesale decision where you just say, I'm telling these 10 people and so forth. They must feel that then each name has been sufficiently motivated by the committee, and the committee has applied its time on it. Thank you. Honorable Mason. Honorable Mason, if you still have something, before I come back to you, Obongo. Okay, no, I wanted to make sure that Honorable Maisela, because he raised something. Honorable Swart, we are saying, I'm outlining the process here. If we are going, I would prefer, because I assume that members have already gone through the short distance candidate, who received the long time ago. And is there any problem with Malunga? Is there any problem with Malunga? Thank you. Okay, can we move on? Honorable Best.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm trying to make sense of the chaos and the unilateral sort of decisions that are taking place. However, I would like to nominate Bola Miller, and I'm not going to fall for her qualities because we've all read it, of course. Willie Funt, Ram Jason Kuhn, Luca Ngani, and Majola.
Can we do two at a time, and then so that it's consumable? Because the names are the wrong, so I don't want members to be. Let's do two at a time, ma'am.
Bola Miller and Willie Funt.
Okay. Bola Miller and
Willie Funt.
Can I also, Bola Miller is you, hey?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
But
Willie Funt, okay. And Oliphant.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Members, there are the names. Are there any objections on that one, Honourable Clarke? Do you want to make an objection?
I object. I want to object to Oliphant, but I support the woman candidate from Muller, from Honourable Breyenberg.
They are both women. And remember, we agreed earlier on that... Yeah, remember members, we agreed earlier on that we are going to try and strike a gender balance. And we are saying those, your nomination, Brayden Pastor, just want to make sure, you are satisfied that they meet the criteria in terms of the law that is stipulated.
In terms of the very limited information that we have,
okay,
and the even more limited time that we've had about just the information,
okay,
yes, I'm satisfied with the requirements.
Thank you.
She's a woman.
Okay.
She's an attorney. She's a director of Dutch Daily Incorporated. She has a strong due diligence background and foundational background. I can't imagine what Bongo's objection to her is, except perhaps that she turned him down to date.
Okay. Is there any other hand? Honorable Marcelo? Huh? Yes, ruminate. There was no other sin. I thought everybody was happy with the truth.
Thank you, Chairperson. I hereby rise to nominate the name of former Deputy Public Protector, Mamiki Goodman Mishai. She meets all the statutory requirements constitutionally and in terms of Public Protector Act. She's a fit and proper person. She has 26 years experience in legal, public administration and finance. And she, in terms of our four thematic areas, she has the necessary requisite knowledge and skills. In terms of leadership abilities, she was part of government has been heading up that Chapter 9 institution and all institutions promoting governance in the country. She had the necessary managerial skills as former deputy from 2005 to 2012. And also as executive manager of National Gambling Board, and again a managerial skills acquired while serving as a general manager of Houghton Department of Education. Honorable Breitenbach, she practiced law. She's an admitted attorney. Yes. So, don't worry. Don't worry. And she practiced for her own account as a managing director of Shai Attorneys, and in Mike Lara Attorneys, you can see in her curriculum vitae from page 7 to page 10, she's a very fit and proper person. I so move, Chairperson.
You know, Honorable President, but don't be distracted. When other members are motivating, allow them to motivate. I'm going to give, I ask you, I said you have that motivation for the candidates that you were nominating. No, then don't, I am the chair here, Honorable President. Unfortunately, you would have to bear with me, shame. Oh, I feel sorry for you because you would really have to bear with me. I'm not going to stop members from nominating those people they feel strongly about and motivating on them. Is there any objection on plenary members? Thank you. Okay. Yes, Honorable Simang. And Honorable, I don't want to be accused of being ANC biased. Please, can I focus on my members' side as well? So please, if you don't mind, Uranov, I need to give Honorable Simang a chance. And after you, it's going to be you, Honorable Mwabe. President Trump, you will come after the IFE. Oh, you've been talking, Wena. Oh.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I would like to nominate a lady by the name of Busisiwe Mukwebane. What I would say in the motivation of this nomination is that she qualifies. It is as a lawyer, because we said the lawyers do qualify, and she's an advocate. Secondly, she had worked in the office of the public protector from 1995 to 2005. And therefore she's got the relevant knowledge of the practice of that office. She has also worked for the Human Rights Commission from 1998 to 1999, and there is a close relationship between these two offices in terms of their service delivery. Thank you.
It is 58 in the international 58, hey? No. In the city, she's 58. Yeah.
ambassador now.
Cumulative experience, Honorable Simang. Has he ever practiced? Because I don't think that came out clearly. Let's check, members. Can I earn a kind of privilege? Probably we have a corruption watch here. Did you have that name? Did you look at it? Okay, members, I need your decision on Busisiwe Mkhwebane. She does have qualifications, but yes.
We can see she does have qualifications, but did she practice law? For how long? Or maybe is this 22 years experience of managerial summer in public administration of finance?
I think Honorable Msimang, there is a question. They wanted to know if Busisiwe Mkhwebane has in fact practiced as a lawyer, or that managerial experience that he means is not necessarily in the administration of justice. We just want to get that clarity.
Chair, I'm only relying on the information that is in the CD. And as Honorable Swart did point out earlier this morning, that we will need to establish that it is outside of this literature whether people have practiced either as attorneys or advocates. So maybe then we should put this one on hold, or I will withdraw it if the House so feels.
No, I don't think the idea is to withdraw your name, Honorable Simand. What we are trying to establish is that, remember, I got this CV long time ago, and part of the reason why we gave you this CV was to allow you as members to go through them. And if maybe you had any additional information that you wanted, you could always even contact the staff. Say, can they get in touch with the candidate so that we can get further information? If you think in your view you've done justice on it, we just want to show that in terms of the basic minimum of the law, that person meets the criteria. Remember, the Public Protector Act clearly separates. It's only the judge where it is not specific about cumulative experience of at least 10 years. And they also cite public administration of justice, public finance, and that is why we're asking you this question, Honorable Nsimang. It's not that we don't want to contribute. I don't think the members are saying they don't want to contribute any. Alright?
Now that is a bit unclear. I think we may have to give a chance to come and explain to the committee. So I want to support Nsimang. Also, it's a woman's month.
But in as much as members, we are saying we want women, but we want women of substance too. I'm not suggesting that Busisiwe is not. Please get me right. I'm saying we wanted to make sure that those women, that as much as they are trying to make the shortlist correct, we want to make sure that they meet the basic minimum in terms of the law. So from what the records that we have here from Corruption Watch, is that and subsequent information that we have seen, she does meet the minimum the requirements. Is that correct? Yes. Okay, thank you. Can we move on, members? So we, the name is again? We agree on the name, eh? Thank you. Okay. So, Honorable Mwabe?
No,
I can't. I'm going to bring you lollipop tomorrow. These names sometimes sound very similar. No. I said I meant the NFP. Did I say I mean? Sorry. Anyway. But they are the offspring of the IFP, sorry. Sorry.
No, that's not good, sir. Yeah. Can I nominate advocate Michael Mtembu. He's practiced law for more than 20 years. He was admitted as an attorney on the 26th October 1981 and also admitted as an advocate on 4th November 2002. He has also acted as a judge in the Eastern Cape Division and is currently a sitting judge of the Electoral Court. He has also worked as a senior lecturer of law in KwaZulu-Natal University. He's got necessary qualifications to practice as a lawyer, and that's my submission, Jefferson. Thanks.
I have honorable Britain for. I just want to make sure that I don't leave other members who have not spoken out, because we are on nine names, but it doesn't mean that you can't erase other names. Yes. Honorable Bonoff. No, I was just saying as a process, but if you are happy with her going ahead, hey, can you see how responsible these members of parliament are? They are very easy, and that's very good. Honorable Brunoff, Honorable Bregenbach is saying, go ahead.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I want to nominate Willy Hofmeyer. I think he's a seasoned lawyer. He do have good experience in state administration and extensive knowledge and experience of governance of various state institutions. And I'm not going to elaborate further on that.
Okay. Any support for Advocate Wolfmeyer? Mister. Hey, these people, these advocates are very serious about this license. This is correcting me. No, I have been corrected. Thank you. Yes, Honorable Bongo?
I support the...
Honorable Bre...
You support me?
Okay. Yes, Honorable.
But my name was not neither seconded or rejected.
No, it was accepted.
Oh, okay. Okay. I never said anything.
You know what is the problem? Over suspicious. You think that, hey, people are going to come with these names and they are going to stop you from... No. Honorable, then back you were coming after you will see that. Do you want to come in? No. Okay, you may.
If other members can possibly try and keep up, I have three nominations. One is Rem Jason Q, number 15 on your list.
Okay.
So if you want me to trawl through all her apologies, she's an attorney, she's the executive director of the Southern African Litigation Center. She has a history in refugee assistance and public interest litigation, and she certainly meets requirements. The next nomination I have is Mr. Kamani. He's number 30 on your list. Just look, I don't keep the key yourself. I would nominate number one. She's an advocate. She's the pension fund adjudicator currently. She has a history in problem fund and pension fund management. She has a good reputation as an effective and efficient manager, and she meets requirements. And thirdly, I'd like to nominate Mr. Majola. Professor Majola is number 61 on your list.
Honorable
you know, the problem is that you are now doing it wholesale, and you've done two people earlier on, and you are now coming with another two.
Three, actually.
No, you are now going to the fourth person. No, I think in as much I agree with what I don't have a problem with you nominating those names. We can have those names here that you are proposing, but finally we all have to. That is why I said people must nominate. You can nominate and then we will go through the process. Okay, thank you. Honorable Treke, we are going to eliminate some of the names, yes?
Okay. Thank you very much, Chair. I think raised the name of Advocate Nonkosi Princess Petshayo. Let's hope I'm pronouncing the name correctly. Advocate Petshayo has an academic qualifications of LLB and BA in the University of Cape Town. And she has been the head in the office of the speaker, precisely in the office of the Institution Supporting Democracy, which Public Protector is one of them. And she has been the executive director in the office of the speaker in 2006-2008. And she has been an advisor in the strategic advisor in the office of the deputy president between 2008 and 2009. She has worked also in the Department of Cooperative Governance. She has been an assistant law advisor in the Constitutional Assembly from 1994-1996 when they're finalizing the Constitution. She has been also the provincial head in the Department of Justice and also the chairperson of the DEQA Board. And presently she is the sheriff of the Federal High Court. I think an advocate is fit and proper to hold to the office of the Public Protector because she does have the managerial skills, the financial skills, administrative skills, actually some knowledge and understanding of the PRMA, MFA, and the Procurement Act. Thanks.
Thank you very much, members. Are there any other names that we have? Or do we have any objection on this name? Okay. Are there any other names? Are we closing now? Let's close then. We have, Nwabe, you have another name. No, that's not a problem. You know what, members, I don't want us to stifle this process. If the members, but the only thing I'm going to say to members, if we remember we have kept this at 50, if we are not going to be able to eliminate, and which I don't think will be fair if we do that, I think we will have to know to allow all those 15 people to be interviewed. We have, I actually have 13 here in front of me. I have 13 here. If he wants to, yes?
There were three names which were proposed by my learned colleague, the Honorable Britain. And then we did ask a question as to whether we support or not. And we were still trying to move. Remember, he proposed the third name, three names.
Oh, okay. No, do you have a comment on that one?
Yeah, because we wanted to have numbers. I was trying to move as well. You didn't.
She did give the page numbers. I thought that... Honorable Machapo, did you have an objection? Honorable Braden Papi indicates the page numbers, and I assume that that's members have, and my apologies for that. Are you okay, Honorable Machapo? Just hold on, Honorable.
No,
I want to make sure that this honorable member is not left out in the process.
I'm trying to assist in that process.
Okay.
You may find that there's no CV for some reason, because I couldn't find the CV in my file. But there is indeed a questionnaire that's being filled in.
No, but the if the questionnaire it was in the the CVs, you did receive the electronic version, you have the website. You know, members, there's one thing that I don't like. I want members to understand. The CVs, we had them in the website, they were posted to you. You also had them sent to you electronically. You can't complain about that. You cannot complain about that, the members. Okay. Thank you. We're moving on. Honorable Mwango, sorry.
That's all the carriage when we still go on, or should I go?
No, if you want to, we don't want to suppress you. If you want, if you have that person and you feel strongly, you like your mind on his name, you can go ahead.
I don't know, Chair, because I also have the same name that another person proposed with that was the question, which is document 61, Machola, Advocate Machola.
No, Advocate Majola is definitely there, the CVIDC member, it was there, and also even Corruption Watch commented on Majola, it was there. I want us members to be very fair to people. They submitted their documentation. If we misplace the information, it can't be a problem of the nominee. It's your problem, member. Huh? You want Majola. No, but when you've already made your fundraiser bar. No, but when why are you forcing Mwara, you want Majola? Yes, Majola is there in your list. Oh, okay. So, members, let me go through this list again, and you must tell me if I have not captured any name. I have 13 names. And members, I have deliberately allowed you to go above the 10 that we have kept. Because I don't want anyone of you to feel that this process was not thorough, did not give nominees the adequate chance to motivate on whoever. Okay? I have Mkwebane, I have Wena, I have Desai, I have Malunga, I have Paula Mula, I have Oliphant, I have Goodman, I have Mkwebane. No, Goodman is Makiki. It's Mamiki. Yeah? Mkwebane, then we have where? Because Mkwebane is twice here. So the Mkwebane is written twice. So we have, there are 12 then members. Let me go back again. Mkwebane, Wena, Desai, Maluga, Bola Mula, Oliphant, Goodman, Mkwebu, Ofmeya. What is his name? Lukaiman, Majola, and Tetwile. Oh, Ramja. No, just hold on a sec, member. I just want to make sure that we kept all the names. I'm going through my list here. And Ramja is there. Honorable Masondo, you want to say something?
No, I just wanted the chairperson to add one more name.
Okay, honorable member.
The name of Chris Madibeng Koditwa, a well-known activist, but also one who has various presentations over time, VA, UNISA, SP, Botswana, SNLM, University of Johannesburg, and is an admitted advocate in the High Court, and this happened in 1994. I just wanted to add the name. It may add the pool. Okay. And if this permit be so allowed, that also move closure from this.
No, Chair. I'm just. Can you just appraise us about how many women are in the process, so that we look at what we have agreed upon earlier, the demographics, the gender, and what we have sharply raised earlier on, so that we can either eliminate or do something else. Thank you.
Members, can the those that have nominated indicate Remember, most of these people that we have here, it is in the CV what gender they are. Can you assist us to see? Can you tell us about the gender of those people? Bonani seems to know. We just want to make sure, remember we said we want to make sure that it is gender balance, but from the look of it, I think in the demographics we tried to cover everything. We didn't check necessarily your woman thing. You have to meet the criteria, but we are saying we want to make sure that it is balanced.
Wena, Paul Mula, Oliphant Goodman, Ranjay, Rukai Mane, and Kwekwane, I think it's 8, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Okay, members, are you happy with this short list? Yeah, we have 14. And can I stress something to members? Members, when we come on the 11th, no excuses. You selected these people, members, so we're going to have to give them time. As I agreed later on. The process going forward is that we will invite all those shortlisted, and we will invite all of them, and they will have to arrive at the same time. The reason being that it's because this interview is going to be live. You don't want to have other members being an advantage over others. We need to make sure that the process is very fair. Do we understand, members? And Monani, please just make sure that you don't set an appointment on a written path before to meet somebody at 8, because at 8 in the evening or 11, because we may actually, if you can decide that, I'm getting to 10, and you decide that no, 10 was not good enough, you then said you overruled the chair and went for 40. So you must think throughout the interview. Okay? Yeah? No, I will protect him. He agreed that he will sit until the duration of this. You know, the nice thing about Zulus, we can talk with our eyes, you know, and we know exactly what the person wants. Yeah, okay, thank you very much, members. I think we are done. Let's meet then on the 11th, and please come prepared, members. If you could just make sure that you take care of all the nominees. Thank you very much, members. Bye-bye. Members, there's something here. Are you going to, listen, members, those that are going to villages, for now you just want to check something. The shuttles are not yet here, but the bus, there is a bus at 5. Would you like to go on the bus?